Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. J.C. Cole checking in every Wednesday like clockwork, although now he's got a new level of fame in the U.K., if anybody reads that rag.
Yeah, I do. I do. It's my 15 minutes of the limelight.
Okay. Number one, apparently I'm going to have to put it on my Substack or something because I don't see anybody in the U.S. publishing it. Number two, that it was the BBC, not the Guardian, right?
No, it was actually the Guardian.
The Guardian. Yep. And number three, it's about time.
Okay, so what is an article, and the title of it is The Super Rich Preppers Planning to Save Themselves from the Apocalypse. And no, I haven't seen any U.S. news pick it up, but I did see the Canadian prepper who does a YouTube. He picked it up. Right, and it names me.
No, it only names you, goes into great detail about your plan that you and I talked about a year ago, but we haven't spent much time on lately.
That's true. And my basically, I have a website, and so people track me down through the website, and then I've been getting inundated with emails, and of course, you know, overloaded on the ability to respond. So I think what we might have to do is do a Beck TV and explain what it is, because it's really a solution to create food security in America, in Britain, in Europe. And now we see that food security is under threat. Actually, we don't have food security, but which is the problem.
How about we do this before we talk once again about American Heritage Farms? We back up because I thought that, first of all, the author's name, I can't think of his name.
Douglas Rushkoff.
Rushkoff. Sounds like somebody you would know from Lafayette. That's what it sounds like. he put it in the context that was pretty interesting and telling and straightforward. The very people, the global elites, if we can call them that, the billionaires that caused the problem through ESG scores, environmental starvation gimmicks, to put the fuel and food in jeopardy for mainstream world, not just mainstream America, the mainstream world consumer, has now caused them to be worried that they're in danger because the people are going to storm them looking for sustenance. I just love how you put that into context.
That's pretty close. What happens is the billionaires are all in one class, and some of the billionaires are psychopaths, which we won't name their names. And the other billionaires are just stuck in that class, and now they're sitting there. What do we do? And how do we bug out and hide so that when this thing collapses, people won't find us?
I think you should go build an underground city in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and they'll never get to you there. You won't need security. Just protect. Use the water and sharks to protect you. That's what I think.
Well, apparently Jeff Bezos is rumored to be doing that in the Arizona desert, building an underground city.
Anybody can walk across the desert. They can't walk through the Atlantic past the sharks to get to you, Jeff. You should take that at heed.
Well, that's one of the reasons why some of these guys who can afford a $50 million jet, the Gulfstream G550, can fly to New Zealand, right? Because that jet can do it on one tank of gas, and New Zealand, nobody else can get to. And New Zealand has only.
You're right. That did kind of serve the same purpose I was talking about.
Right. New Zealand only has 10 million people and about 70 million sheep. So it has a very good food supply that nobody else can get to, except for they're not thinking there's a very big country just north that has 1.6 billion people who will be very hungry. And they have a very, very large military.
Yeah. Also, New Zealand's an island. Have you considered that?
Yeah. Yes.
And so, islands come and go.
The whole thing here is nobody really talks to the experts on security and survival. And for instance, when 9/11 happened, which we'll talk about in today's show, when 9/11 happened, the entire world's air flights were shut down.
Right.
If you went up in your G550, you'd be shot down by an F-15. Unless, of course, you were in the Saudi royal family. But that's another story, and we shouldn't go there.
Don't forget, it was, what, a year ago or 6 months ago that we were making fun of Jeff Bezos, who had purchased a $365 million yacht but couldn't get it out of the factory that made it. So they had to spend another $20 million. Altering a bridge so they could get it under the bridge to get out into the ocean. He probably thinks he's going to go on his floating $365 million yacht.
Yes, I would think that that's one of the potential escape plans, but he should take a beginning course in geology. because if we go into a tectonic upheaval, the seas turn into roaring seas. Right. And what he'll find is his multi-million-dollar yacht beached on some island. Right. So anyway.
Well, here's where I'm at. I know how to survive. I mean, I'm pretty good at survivalist. I've never relied on technology. I don't even use GPS. I can tell you where the North Star is at all times. I can tell you how to grow your own food. I can tell you how to find water. I can tell you how to do all of those things. And if it gets so bad that I can't make it work in central Nebraska, there's a better place for me to check into.
That's true. And hopefully you'll create, rural to heaven. New talk show.
Connection. We're connect. I should change the tagline. We're connecting rural America to heaven right here. That's awesome. Oh,
man. So anyway, Trent, when we started talking, it's almost been a year and a half, I'm guessing, right? I would just start taking notes during the week, and I'd have about a page, maybe a page and a half of notes to discuss.
Right.
This week it's 4 pages. We won't be able to get through it. That's the amount of things that are happening that are critical to our people, and we got to pay attention to them. And of course, some of them are quite scary.
Where do we start?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to think. We can start at some dates that are coming up in September that are looking quite scary. I'm not a financial advisor, but I've been picking up a lot of information that we may have some serious trouble in the stock market towards the end of the year. And, that could set some dominoes falling. My concern was if we have a financial correction or collapse of some sort, our credit markets can collapse. And if our credit markets collapse, so does our commerce. No more letters of credit, no more credit cards, no more be able to borrow money for a period of time. And so for us on the East Coast, if you guys stop sending food, some of that great steak that you have out there, we have about 2 weeks before we run out of food. And I don't think they're going to be able to fix the credit markets in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think so either, which is ultimately going to lead me into the first discussion, which will be a little different, but similar in basis to what we did this morning on Across the Pond with Andrew Henderson. But we have J.C. Cole here now, American Heritage Farms. He's got a website if you want to send him an email. We'll take a break. We'll be back. An assistant to get an assistant to get you these emails responded to. More Rollout after this. And now we talk about immune health. We talk about health in general. The world's authority on nitric oxide production, Dr. Nathan Bryan, explains.
We've got about 14 COVID clinics around the U.S. where we have a nitric oxide drug trial going on. I'm exposed to COVID probably every day. You know, pre-COVID, we as humans are exposed to viruses and bacteria every day of our life. That's just the world we live in. Some people get sick, some people don't. Why do some people get sick and why do others not? It all boils down to their ability to generate nitric oxide and to have certain things replete in their body like vitamin D, zinc, vitamin C, selenium. If you're nutrient deficient, you're going to get sick. If you can't make nitric oxide, you're going to get sick. If you do all these things, you can be exposed to COVID or any other virus, and your immune system nips it in the bud, and you don't get sick from it. It's really that simple.
We're going to change this ordering process up to make it simpler. Go to loosetailsmedia.com. Loosetailsmedia.com. There will be an order mechanism there, and if you want more of the science, I'll get that to you from Dr. Nathan Bryan. Loosetailsmedia.com. It's N-O-2-U. The product's the same. The place you get it is different. Welcome back. Roll Route. Trent Luce alongside J.C. Cole coming to us with a wealth of knowledge, 18 years in Lafia. He developed his arsenal of information. Had no idea he would be needing it in the U.S., but here we are. So I want to ask you this question because it ties into what I think you want to talk about anyway. The main discussion was led today. Actually, it came from a Wall Street Journal article that my buddy Greg Dowd forwarded to me. 19 states and their attorney generals have sent a letter to Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock. BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street now have $20 trillion in assets that they manage globally. They control much more of our food supply and energy supply than we want to recognize. But the letter went to them basically saying, you guys are using our investment for political purposes, not asset management purposes, as we intend and as is required by state statute by our individual states. That was really ratcheted up by the Attorney General of Louisiana and Indiana. You know what, JC? We could take those names, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, to any main street America and ask people who they are. And the majority of people would say, BlackRock? I saw a red rock right over there somewhere. Yeah, they don't understand who these people are and how they control their future. And as it leads into the banking, what do we need to know about this?
Well, these are my understanding as this is the ancient bloodlines financial system controlling the majority of corporations in our country.
In the world, not just
in the world.
In the world.
Yes,
and as an example, BlackRock has a huge ownership of Exxon in the United States. But they've been working at firing on Exxon because their ESG score is not good enough. They also own between 5 and 10% of PetroChina, who ironically purchased quite a few of our oil reserves when they were released by Biden. And they're ramping up their investment in PetroChina. So, I mean, seriously, where's their loyalty to who? It sounds like themselves.
That their loyalty is themselves. That's actually, if you look into these bloodlines, that's what it is. Their loyalty to themselves, not a god, not a country, to themselves. And the article, the super rich are planning to save themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The big issue that I brought up, one reason I was mentioned in the article is because I couldn't figure out how to create enough food to solve the problem for somebody starving, a mother starving at the end of my driveway. You know, think about that dilemma. You're a rancher. You have good food, but how much food can you produce? And all of a sudden you have a poor, innocent woman with a child and she's starving. What are you going to do? You know, we're in this position where we have no food security. We can't feed the nation if our systems break. And all indications are our systems are breaking. And so now if you literally, it's like the Wizard of Oz, you pull back the curtain and, you know, you don't see the wizard. What you see is a bunch of corporate names like BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street that are controlling the levers.
Well, as you predicted, the electric grid is not sustainable. In the last week, we've seen California with a statement that has now gone viral. I can't believe it spread so rapidly that they've told people not to charge their cars because they can't provide the amount of electricity that we told you you had to have an electric vehicle. Colorado putting regulations in place on electricity use last week. I'm told you firsthand of a manufacturing facility in Illinois. Actually, it's in Missouri. That was told they had to cut one shift because the electric supplier can't supply their electric needs. And we continue to shut down coal plants. Another coal plant went down this week. Not to mention, you brought up there's a fire yesterday.
There's a fire at another chicken facility in California.
Right.
And so you're looking at it. I mean, it was another one. Blackouts are imminent. 75,000 powerless as record California power usage sparks demand response event. Well, that's a new one, a demand response event. Anyway, but basically, we're being attacked from all sides, whether clandestinely or whether, you know, deliberately or whether by accident. I think it's going to be a combination of everything. And we need electricity to survive, especially in America, because we're the most vulnerable to the electric grid collapsing. And, you know, it comes back to 85% of the people, or no, 87, I think it is, are on municipal water, which requires electricity to run. And if you have a blackout, you no longer have water. And now, you know, that sets the clock that you got about 3 to 4 days to figure it out. You know, and we see an example down there in Jackson, Mississippi, with their water breaking.
So, you know, I never watch any news at all. And this week I had breakfast in a hotel and they had a news blurb on. It was in Baltimore. It was Timonium, Maryland. Baltimore. It was in Timonium, Maryland. And they're doing a full-blown series this week on the Jackson, Mississippi water issue. They're not talking about the cause. JC, they're just talking about the effects.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this all comes down to what we've talked about numerous times, when technology fails, and we are very vulnerable. And so one of the things, again, I remind everybody, please buy that book by Matt Stein. When technology fails, it shows you how to individually protect yourself against those things. Along the lines of what I'm seeing is that there is it's very clear that there's a division of our political apparatus that's trying to create a civil war. Mm-hmm. And I kind of get annoyed when somebody calls them Democrats, because I have friends that are Democrats. They don't think this way. You know, the Democratic Party, and I would say even the Republican Party, have been, basically overtaken, right? We're getting a clear push to create division right down the middle of our country. And of course, all you need is a catalyst to start the fight.
Fortunately, we'll never have one of those come along in the United States of America.
Of course not. Can't happen here.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Normalcy bias.
And you're kind of stealing something that I've been speaking about since the Arise USA tour, which also is since you and I started talking, is that we need to stop talking about red states, blue states, red counties, blue counties, because the United States flag is red, white, and blue. And we need to stay true to the patriotic colors of all three. And it's a blend of those three that make it work.
And yes. And so, this is just classic divide and conquer. Who does it benefit? Well, it doesn't benefit any of the Americans. It benefits the United Nations and the globalists. Right. And unfortunately, the CCP, They want us to fight so that we get exhausted and we can't defend ourselves against them. So you see it happening. You see this administration shipping away our armaments, you know, and getting our weapons and giving them to a country that we really don't care about.
I'm going to get the data, and I'm going to have him on this week. I think Friday, Captain Tom Stewart, retired Marine, left the Marines because he was told he had to take the jab. He told me yesterday he's getting the numbers put together, but for the first time in the history of this country, we are now losing more troops stateside than deployed and in the heat of battle.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you look at what we need to defend ourselves, one, the foundation stone, what the Pilgrims immediately started as soon as they landed, wasn't political parties. It was food production in our control. And so that's the whole thing. American heritage, the heritage of us, our Americans, working together to create food locally. That's what I've been focused on. How do we do it? We're behind the eight ball now. We don't have time. We don't have enough farmers like you. I can't clone you.
Actually talking about my wife, because all I do is talk about it with you. We'll be back with the second half of the rollout right after this. Don't forget, it's happening this weekend. Cowgirls for a Cure at Beard Arena, Monocan, North Dakota. You may not be in Monocan, you may not be in North Dakota, but you care about kicking cancer. Cowgirls for a Cure is all about kicking cancer, in particular breast cancer. You can make a donation. You can help with your local cancer effort. Just do something in the name of cancer. Cowgirls for a Cure. Thank you to goldbuckletack.net. Welcome back, everyone. Trent Luce alongside J.C. Cole joining us from New Jersey. Getting the farm put together. I actually love that little sentiment about food production and the Pilgrims. And the colonists. If you don't have food, you don't have anything. Right. That's why is that so hard to figure out?
Right. With food, we can solve any problems. Without it, we can solve none. Right. And so.
Actually, that reminds me of my favorite saying. Show me a man with a full stomach, and I'll show you a man with many problems. Show me a man with an empty stomach, and I'll show you a man with but one.
Right. And we can go down that line where give a man a fish and you fed him for a day. Teach a man two fish and you fed him for a lifetime. And so we're...
Are you plagiarizing Jesus?
He gave me a literal license.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, anyway, let's focus a little bit on, look, there's a very clear push to create a civil war. And now my opinion is we'll either come right down to the brink of it or we will get forced into it. Either way, you have to prepare for it because it's coming and we have to avoid it. At almost all costs, almost. Get ready. And you can't fight if you don't have food. You know, I like a lot of the preppers, you know, they're, you know, buying guns. Actually, 1 million guns sold in the U.S. for a record-setting 37th consecutive month. Okay, so... So America's getting ready for a fight with themselves, of which is devastating to us. And the real thing is that both, you know, both the blue states and the red states have to wake up and say, we don't want to fight. So, but you still have to get ready for the fight.
Hey, can you verify or deny, because I saw pictures in a report, which doesn't make it true, that New York this week started banning the sale of ammunition?
I did not hear that. I did hear that the state of New York said you can no longer buy body armor.
I saw a picture of some store selling ammunition, and there was a yellow tape in front of the ammunition. And then the story was that they can no longer sell it.
No, I haven't heard that one yet. But, you know, you're getting into very complicated areas where you see this governor of New York, Hochul, who was appointed. She wasn't elected. Right? And you just got to look at this woman. She looks evil. And she actually tried to pass through a law that the state could arrest anybody without any proof, without any fallback, without any ability to argue on medical conditions and contain. Right? And of course, this is to protect people. No, this is right out of the Nazi handbook. That's one. And fortunately, there was a lawyer who picked this up and was able to get the law defeated at this moment. And then this is the same governor that came out and said, well, if you're a Trump and MAGA supporter, you can leave the state. Excuse me, aren't you supposed to represent all people in your state? Right. So there you have a classic example of a radical group trying to inflame the entire system. And of course, everybody knows what Biden just came out and said, you know, blaming MAGA people being, you know, dangerous and a threat to the country. You go, well, who's the threat to the country? You know, who's provoking the war?
JC, nobody can even argue that charade last Thursday was all just that. It was a charade to try to irritate and bring about chaos. And if you want to call it civil war, that you can't argue that. That's what it was.
Well, a small percentage of the people, unfortunately, will believe it. You know, as Lincoln said, you know that there's always going to be a percent that believes it. And so even worse is that if you look at this thing as a technical issue on what to cause for a collapse, all right, we've talked about this. We have 13% of the population on EBT cards, which is an electronic debit card, right? And the majority of them are in inner cities. We know this. Okay. We also know that, last week or the week before, the EBT card system broke and these people couldn't use their card. And within a few days, they started sending really nasty emails, fix the problem or, you know, or we'll riot. Okay. So you have, we know that you only need a small percentage of the country to create civil unrest. So you already have the 13% set up and in the inner city. All right. So the next thing you go is you had a flash mob and a 7-Eleven, and you see that this was organized all very quickly by mobile telephone. So you right there, you have the catalyst that can ignite it, right? And then
don't they even have an app for you to get to your flash mob location quicker and more efficiently?
Sorry, I'm still back in the dark ages on the apps. Right.
I know they do. They have an app where if you want to be a part of a flash mob, all the details are right there. You just follow your phone to where it says to be.
Right. And so they're using, you know, window dressing that this is for the better of, you know, of the country and all this. No, these are communists trying to create a political upheaval, and it's all set. It's all positioned. We're just waiting for the event. All right. And so get ready for the event.
I cannot go on with this without adding that there is no uniting effort by a guy named Trump, who then 3 days later goes to the same exact spot that Biden was and gives a divisive message himself. I mean, he's not a uniter.
We are looking at a very, very serious chess game for, I think, who controls. And unfortunately, it looks like a very large amount of people will die in this. I mean, just think of it. If our supply chain collapses, this is where you and I met. And this is where, you know, I met Robert David Steele, was it 3 years ago. I said, if our supply chain collapses, the majority of us run out of food in 2 weeks. And there is no structure in the United States that can fix the supply chain within 2 weeks. That's the problem. So you just reverse engineer it and say, what could cause the supply chain to collapse? And one of them is civil war. Another one is, you know, the collapse of the credit system. And of course, the third one is the collapse of the energy grid. Right? I mean, you know.
I got an observation for you. All three are taking place at the same time.
Oh, geez. I didn't notice.
Yeah. I know you live in a bubble. It's time you get out of your bubble.
That's true. Right. I mean, actually, that's it. The United States lives in a big fishbowl. And I happen to be out outside of the fishbowl for almost two decades, looking back going, don't you see what's happening? And of course, we get normalcy bias. No, it can't happen here in the United States. What? The collapse of the supply chain? Oops, COVID. Oh, I didn't mean to mention that. Right.
Well, right. Oh, yeah. And by the way, I'm glad you did mention that, because you and I and Andrew and everybody I talk to on a regular basis, we recognize that COVID was the biggest pandemic. It was a fraud. The death came because of how people were handled, not because of a virus. And we talk about, we've moved beyond that. We know that masks cause more problems than dangers. We know that people who get jabbed are in greater danger. And that's why the military has more people dying stateside than in deployment, because they're all mandatory jab. We know all those things. And you and I are in the mindset that we've moved beyond that. But not if you talk to people who are in the medical business. Not if you talk to people who are still teaching. These organizations are now ramping up control of people and their bodies in the name of COVID.
And for the good people in the medical industry, and I have some very, very close friends in it, right? They're trapped.
Yeah.
Right? Their salary is controlled. Unless you do exactly what the CDC says, right, you get fired. And so they have to make a decision. Do I leave my job or do I do this? And so, unfortunately, history shows that when authority tells you to do something, the majority of the people do it. Even though, and this is what happened to the Germans from Nazi occupation. The Nazis told them what to do, and they did it. Right? And those who argued, well, they got taken care of.
You know, the age-old question that I have had since I learned about the Holocaust, since I learned about Hitler, Nazi Germany, my question was always, how do so many good people stand by and let this happen? Even the people who carried it out. I have to believe that many of those, most of those, had to be good-hearted people. They participated in the genocide of 6 million plus people. And that's a short number compared to Stalin, Mussolini, Mao Zedong, and Lenin.
Right. And so
I no longer ask that question, JC. It is very clear to me how that works. And yep, I have to go to a break in 30 seconds.
There's an experiment done. I forgot what it was called, but there's an experiment done where they had volunteers come in and give electric shock to a guy. Of course, the guy was an actor. And they give the electric shock, and the guy was going, I have a heart condition. Stop the experiment. You're going to kill me. And the majority of people kept pushing the button because the laboratory guy, right, said, no, don't worry about it. Just push the button. This is an experiment. He's okay. And literally the actor would fall over dead, you know, playing dead, and people just keep on going. And this is normalcy bias. This is, by the way, normal human activity. You have to wake up and sit and pay attention to it.
Mob mentality. We'll be back with the last segment of Roll Route right after this. I want to remind you cattlemen, particularly Great Plains cattlemen, that we need more cattle to fit the mold. The mold is sired by Piedmontese sires from Lone Creek. If you come and look at my calves in the pasture, you can see two things. We have some embryo calves. That's not what you do. But we did put in some embryos that are the sires that make your calves, and we have those calves on our cows as well. It's a tremendous system, and it works extremely well for us. It'll work well for you, too. Getting more of the consumer's food dollars, what it's all about, LoneCreekCattleCo.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis, alongside J.C. Cole. 37 straight months, 1 million guns sold in the United States or more, in excess of 1 million each month.
So,
by the way, how many can you shoot at one time? I'm curious.
I'll bet on two.
Me too. I go with two.
All right. You know, normally we cover off on significant things that happened in history during this week. And so September 8th, 1941, I think this one is...
Sounds like a World War II situation.
This was World War II. This was the siege of Leningrad. And many Americans don't know this. Mm-hmm. Right? Leningrad is now St. Petersburg. And of course, Leningrad stands for Lenin's City. And so anyway, the Nazis laid siege to Leningrad and surrounded it for 28 months, 2.5 years. They cut off all the supplies to the city. It's estimated that 1.5 million people, soldiers and civilians, died, mostly by starvation, and it caused cannibalism. This was the Nazis' plan. And the siege of Leningrad by many ranks as the most lethal siege in world history. Well, that's only 80 years ago. Right? And the Russians, were the people in it were Soviet Union, but predominantly Russian, especially as Leningrad was the second largest city, predominantly Russian. They still have it in their memory. It's in their genes and DNA, starvation. So they are not going to tolerate the West telling them what to do. Right? And what is the West telling them what to do in Ukraine? Right? And we got a propaganda machine saying how bad the Russians are, and the Russians are actually protecting themselves. And they said very clearly, we will protect ourselves. And if you wanted to bring it to nuclear war, we'll bring it to a nuclear war, but nobody's going to win. Okay. And then I'm searching for history, which seems to be what you've assigned me to do.
I didn't assign you. You volunteered.
Right.
You thought this was what people needed to know. Before you go to the next step in history, 2 weeks ago, all the news was about this nuclear plant that Russia was protecting and the Ukraine was trying to create a problem. That's not what the news was telling us, but we knew that to be true. And then we heard that the United Nations, we are going to send some people there to inspect it. Now, all of a sudden, I don't hear a squat about it. What happened to all that?
Well, my understanding is that the people, the inspectors did get there, but the Ukrainians started firing on the plant right before and tried to take it back. The Russians defeated that advance. And then the people, the inspectors got there, but then the Ukrainians attacked it again. And that most of the plant is shut down and in a very dangerous position.
Okay.
Right. Now, you got to think Ukrainians are... You know, Ukrainians are being led by Azov Nazis. They're Nazis, right? This is proven. And so the Nazis are trying to destroy, with our missiles, the largest nuclear plant in Europe. You think that'll create enough death and destruction? That's why they're called Nazis. Anyway, so September 11th, 1941, this one caught me by surprise. Charles Lindbergh was a national hero.
He flew around the world.
Right, around the world. And he actually lived about one town away where I am, in Hopewell, New Jersey. But anyway, Charles Lindbergh claims the British, Jewish, and Roosevelt administrations are trying to get the U.S. into World War II. Okay, now, Jewish is a religion. They didn't use the term Khazarian bloodline at that time, but now we know hiding behind a lot of Judaism are a bloodline known as the Khazarians, and the top Khazarians had started most of the wars. Now, isn't that interesting? the British and the Roosevelt administration, along with the Khazarians, were trying to start World War II. Who's trying to start World War III? The British, the Biden administration, and the neocons, which are predominantly made up of Khazarian bloodlines. Victoria Nuland funded the overthrow of the elected president of Ukraine, which started the civil war, and the ethnic cleansing of the Russians. This is all documented. This is for people to wake up. The same group that started World War II is starting World War III.
Do I need to remind you that September 11th is like coming?
And September 11th is coming, and it's going to be the 21st anniversary. So a lot of
September 11th tends to be a day that comes to throughout the course of history. I mean, here's Charles Lindbergh making this announcement on September 11th. George Bush made an announcement on September 11th. George W. Bush did something on September 11th. September 11th is coming.
Oh, and also September 11th, 1941, the construction of the Pentagon began. The Pentagon, get it? Pentagon, right? And you're like, okay, this is getting eerie.
The construction began on the same day of the year that the plane flew into it?
No, actually, yes, that's correct. Although it's not a plane. It's not a plane.
We were told it was a missile.
It's now proven it's a missile.
It wasn't a plane?
No, it wasn't a plane. It was a missile. It was a missile.
No.
Rumors was it was a missile stolen and sold to the cabal by Victor Boot, the Lord of War.
Oh, I gotta have a roadmap now. I can't keep up.
Right, who it looks like we are trading for this, this basketball player who apparently claims that she's a woman and is actually a man. Oh, geez, what a twisted world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
this evil dude is still kicking.
Victor Boot was arrested by the United States and stuffed in a cell. A couple of years ago, and that's where he's staying, right?
Is that for protection?
And there was a movie made of him played by Nicolas Cage. What was it? The Lord of War or something like that. So we touched on it a couple weeks ago. Anyway,
yeah,
and
I
now
remember.
World War III. The Pope declares mankind is experiencing the outbreak of World War III. Oh, great. He had to weigh in on that. And what else did he do? He ordered the return of all Vatican monies to the Vatican Bank by the end of September, September 30th. He gave an order. So the top guy of the Vatican Bank just ordered all accounts to come back into the Vatican Bank by September 30th. You think that he might know something? You think?
Maybe right? Maybe he's like me. He's got a loan payment due.
I'm sure he has a lot of loan payments due, but to him. Right. Now, you remember I said a few times, you know, I was at the ending of one small chapter of World War II was when Latvia became free and we started to rebuild the country. But I came out and I said, World War II is not over. It's in a truce, right? Germany responds after Poland demands $1.3 trillion for World War II reparations. It's been 80 years, but they haven't forgotten. Right.
Did they factor in the 20% inflation?
I don't know what they factored in, but I'll tell you, it's getting very nasty. And now you also saw that the prime minister of Britain changed to this woman who was the minister of foreign affairs, who the Russians don't like.
Liz Truss.
Yeah. What a name. Liz Trust. Liz No Trust.
You can't pick these. I mean, Hollywood is involved in this because it's just everything is just like according to script.
Yes. And of course, behind this, behind the whole scenes, it is the director, Klaus Schwab. And he has clear links to the rise of the Fourth Reich. And people go, oh, that's just a fantasy. Well, it's not going to be a fantasy if that nuclear plant goes up. Mm-hmm. And it's the second largest steel making factory in the world, which was in Germany, has now closed. Why? Because they don't have any gas. Why? Because they're pissing off the Russians.
Because everybody's out chopping firewood.
Well, that's true. Right. And you're just looking. Look, this is an orchestrated takedown of the Western economies.
Yeah.
By a very devious, corrupt, satanic group. How clear can it not be?
1 minute, JC.
Well, the only thing we can do is prepare for basically the collapse of the supply chain, and also, you know, prepare with your community. Because you're not going to get through this as a lone wolf. This was the big thing. Hey, I have a farm. Hey, I have guns. Hey, I have food. Hey, I also have 320,000 people in my county. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, we have what, 1.2 million people per square mile in 1,200 people per square mile in New Jersey. You can't feed these people.
That's,
we can't produce enough food.
Not a problem we have in the Great Plains of America. Just saying. But the word that we're going to close with is the word that created this country, and it's the word that holds it together in these turbulent times. Community. Get right with the community. We've successfully journeyed down the road connecting rural and urban America. My thanks as always to J.C. Cole. I'm Trent Luce. Both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a rural route. Continuing to make a difference in protecting the harvest. It's called Protect the Harvest for a reason. That's exactly what we need to do. How appropriate. You know, I just got to tell you, there was a lot of discussion and discontent about the name Protect the Harvest in light of what's happening today in food security. That's exactly what we need to do. Protect the harvest. And that's not just about crops. You harvest your animals, you harvest your crops, you harvest food. You harvest energy to keep the world running. And all of that, it hinges upon property rights. The outfit that I work with and am proud to be a part of, protecttheharvest.com, a plethora of information. It's all accessible. You can make contributions and donations to keep the good endeavor going. But go there and get more information. That's what it's about, protecttheharvest.com.